Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and we honor your word. And sir, we open our hearts for revelation from heaven, revealing Jesus. We're looking for Jesus today. We desire Jesus today. Our heart's full of Jesus today. And we thank you and bless you, sir. In Jesus' name, amen. My, we have a wonderful broadcast for you today. I have two, not one, two beautiful young ladies on this broadcast today. First of all, my lovely wife,
Hello,
Gloria.
Everybody. Thank you very
and
much.
The first time on this broadcast, wonderful, dear friend of Gloria and mine for many, many years, Ms. Marilyn Hickey. Marilyn, God bless you, darling.
Marilyn.
Thank you so much for being on this broadcast.
I love getting to do this.
We go back, Gloria and me and Marilyn and Wally go back a long time.
That's true.
We first, oh my goodness, in the early 80s, when I met you, I can just see it, but Father, help me remember what that was. Anyway, and then I heard you speak. I think it was a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting. Anyway, I thought, my, that woman will teach you something if you listen to her. And you've taught us so much and been so wonderful in our lives all these years. And
Thank
we are
you.
So blessed to have
Praise
you here
God.
Today.
Thank you. You know, you dedicated our building.
I remember that.
And I remember that too. And I remember the prophetic things that were spoken. So I'm very delighted, very honored to be here. And you have fed me faith through the years. And that's so important.
Praise God.
And I love that scripture. It says, since we have the same spirit of faith.
Same spirit of faith.
According to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke.
Yes, amen.
Yes, amen.
And we believe and speak, to say the least.
Yes, amen.
But Kenneth and Gloria, I'm very excited about this because I want people to get into the Bible and the Bible to get into
them. Yes, that's right.
And you know, as we behold Him, we are changed into His image, and we go from glory to glory. So when I look at the Bible, I see Jesus in every book of the Bible over and over. And I think there are probably at least 66 levels of glory because there are 66 books of the Bible. And so my passion, my heart, is to get people to read through the Bible and the Bible to read them. And that gives you a life that is victorious.
You said something last night when we were having dinner together that just, it sparked something in me that going through the Bible, if you're just reading just to be reading.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things in here, particularly when you first begin to study it, and particularly in the Old Covenant, and you think, what am I doing here? I mean, but when you're specifically looking for something or for somebody,
right?
And I that really ministered to me last night, and I went back thinking about over the years. We've been in this ministry for 47 years now. And I was thinking about, particularly when we first began there at Oral Roberts University.
Right.
The Lord dropped it in my heart. I started out looking for faith. I was looking for faith everywhere I read.
Yes.
And then, over the years you do the... But then the most magnificent thing is to go through the Bible looking for Jesus.
Exactly. Exactly.
When you find Him, you find faith. When you find Him, you find your healing. When you find Him, you find your prosperity. When you find Him, what is it you need? What is it you got to have? Jesus is the answer.
Absolutely. And you know what I love is Psalm 51:6. It says, "Thou, God, desirest truth in the inward man, and in the hidden man you will make me to know wisdom." Wow. So,
yes.
What is truth? Truth is your Bible. Where is God looking for it? On the coffee table? Under the bed? On top of the refrigerator? No. He's looking for truth in here.
Yes.
So as we read the Word, we're putting truth in here. Then He says, "I'll take the truth and make it wisdom up here." So no truth in here, no wisdom
up here. No wisdom up here.
That's good. And we have to have it. So I'm from Texas. I'm a Texan. My mother always canned in the summertime. My brother and I hated it. It was hot. We had to sterilize the jars. We had to peel the peaches. Ugh. But we didn't hate it in the wintertime. When she unscrewed the lid of a jar of home canned peaches, it was better than kissing your husband. it is so great. And I think that's what happens with the Bible. Sometimes we read it and we think, oh, I'm not getting that much out of it. But we're putting truth in here. We're canning it. And many times in the wintertime of my life, you know, God has brought the truth in here and made it wisdom up here. But if I hadn't canned it, sometimes in times that, you know, I didn't feel I was getting so much, I wouldn't have the wisdom for up here. So I really want to see people seeing Jesus in every book of the Bible, because He's in every book. And I think sometimes we think, well, you know, I don't read the Old Testament, and so they're profitless, you know, because Jesus is so revealed in the prophets. He's so revealed in the Pentateuch. He's so revealed in all of the history, all of the kings, all of those things. And so if we can go through the Bible and see Jesus, that's transformational.
It is.
And that's putting truth inside that can, the Holy Spirit can come and make it wisdom for the occasion. So what I have basically done is I have looked at the Old Testament and broken it into four parts. And I want to mark what those four parts are, because I think if people can see this, if you can see this, it can really get you hooked on the book. It's not just you're reading the Bible. The Bible's reading you. So I'm going to mark these, and, you know, I'm not the best writer, so you say, use your scribble and think about this. I used to be a school teacher, and so, but I didn't write well then either. But I write well.
Tim,
now.
Would you help Marilyn set her board up, please? We're going to put her to work, I'll tell you. I want to get into this. I'm excited about it.
And I think you're going to be very excited as you see, hey, I can get hooked on the book, and the book can get hooked into me. So what I have done, and I've looked at this a lot in the Old Testament, I've looked for Jesus in the Pentateuch. And that's important for us, because we say, well, what's the Pentateuch? Basically, it's the first five books. That's all it is. Don't get nervous. Is Jesus in Genesis? Oh, absolutely. Is He in Exodus? Is He in Leviticus? Is He in Numbers? Is He in Deuteronomy? Yes. And if you behold Jesus as you're reading through the Bible, see, then you begin to receive the life and the revelation. The second part I like so much, and you will love this as we're into this, is the history. You know, you say, well, what's the history of the Bible? Well, actually, it's Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Those are all history books. And Jesus, oh, Jesus shows up in all of the history, because why? It's people. And I don't know how you are, but I know how I am. People examples is like a window for me. I can see how it worked or how they didn't work it well and see how that applies to my life. We all like people stories. You're going to love this as we go into the history. But then if I look at the third section, oh, I look at the wisdom books. And I have never met anyone who wants to be stupid. I've never met anyone who said, oh, I'd love to be stupid. People want to be wise. And there are five wisdom books. And also there are poetry books. They would sing them, you know, they would put them in an opera, and so on. So we see the wisdom books are Job. Job was written as a play. And then we look at Psalms. Oh, where do we get in Psalms? You won't want to miss any of this. And then we get in Proverbs. Who doesn't like Proverbs? Everybody likes Proverbs. It's a wisdom book. It's a how-to. But then we have Ecclesiastes, which kind of deals with depression and oh-hum attitudes and get you back into faith. And did you know Song of Solomon was written to be an opera? And so we have these wonderful wisdom books. But, as I said, so many people are profitless because they don't read the prophets. They say, I don't understand them. It's too difficult. I just can't get it. And Jesus is in every one of the prophets. So this is going to be a wonderful time that we have together, Kenneth and Gloria, because you're going to get hooked on the book, and the book will transform you. Now let's just look at Genesis for a moment. Genesis, does it have Jesus in there? Oh, yes, because I show you in this wonderful Beholding Jesus who he is in Genesis. Do you know he shows up right away? He's the seed of the woman and will crush the head of the serpent. Seed of a woman? Wait a minute. Women don't carry seed. But this is a virgin. And this is the first time we see the virgin birth is in the book of Genesis. Wow. And so I show you how I give you the outline of the book and how Jesus is in the book of Genesis. I show you not only how he is, but what he does and the transformational part of Genesis to you. But then when we look at Exodus, oh my, he is really an Exodus because I love this. Look at the Passover lamb and look at the way they set up the tabernacle. I mean, the tabernacle, so unusual, because we see that in the outer court, they had a big bronze altar and then they had a big brass laver where they washed and the priest could see his face in that brass laver. And the Bible is a mirror. We see ourselves. Then they went into the holy place and they had the lampstand. Oh, so this was covered, but they had light. Out here we had natural light. In here we had the lampstand. Then we had the table of showbread with the 12 loaves on it. And we had the golden altar of incense. So the priest would go in here. He had light. He could pray over the 12 tribes. He could bless them, call in their manna, call in their food, call them into prosperity. He could intercede for them. But once a year, he went into the Holy of Holies, and there was the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. And so this was two pieces of furniture. Kind of looks like one, but it's two. Now look at this. Jesus is our altar. He is the Lamb who died in our place. This is the biggest piece of furniture. Jesus is the washing of the water of the world. Oh, Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. Jesus kept the covenant. And where does Jesus sit? Does he sit on the seat of condemnation?
No.
He sits on the mercy seat. Now look at the shape of this. Look at it. It's the shape of a cross.
Mama. Glory.
I love this, Kenneth.
Glory.
Because I see how the revelation of Jesus, how do you understand the Passover that it refers to in the New Testament if you've never read Exodus? But then when you go into Leviticus, that shows him as our great high priest. And it shows us how to approach him. Now, I don't know how you are. I'm not just wild over Leviticus. You know, I read through the Bible every year, but sometimes, Kenneth, when I hit Leviticus, I think, read fast and get through it. I want to get through it. But if you can see Jesus and the provisions of his priesthood.
If you're looking for him.
Yes. You will love it. And I show you, you know, in this wonderful Jesus encounter, how to see Jesus, our great high priest. But what about Numbers? Well, Numbers is like a history. And so you know, we need to go back and look and rehearse history, because David said, I've killed a lion, I've killed a bear, the Lord help me, I'm going to kill a giant. And Numbers is the history of them in the wilderness. And I get so excited about this because if you remember, Balaam was hired to curse the Israelites. So he comes to Balak, you know, Balak's going to give him a lot of money if he'll do it. He goes up on a mountain to curse the Israelites and he blesses them. Oh, Balak is so upset with him. I told you to curse them. Well, let's go and look at it from a different direction. So he goes, maybe he went to the west first, then he goes to the east, builds an altar, doesn't curse them. And then he said, Balak said, man, I'm not paying you a dime if you don't get with it. So he takes him to the south and he blesses them. He takes them to the north and he blesses them. Balak said, I told you I wanted you to curse them. And here's what Balaam says, I cannot curse what God has blessed.
Right.
Now, what did he see? Now, let's look at this. What did he see? He saw the tabernacle in the center because they camped all around the tabernacle. They had three tribes to the north, three tribes to the south, three tribes to the east, three tribes to the west. He can't curse the cross because the cross took our curse.
Yes.
And so we see Old Testament constantly the picture of the cross. Mm. And, you know, that's so encouraging to me because I think sometimes people say, well, you know, if you go to a medical doctor, and I'm not against this, they want to know the history. Did your father die of such and such? How old? You know, did your mother have allergies and all those kind of things? But, you know, I have a new father.
That's right.
I'm in the cross. And the cross took the curse, but it didn't just take the curse. It gave me the blessing. And so, wow, we see this wonderful Jesus, again, portrayed the cross of how it would take all of our curse, but not just take the curse, but give us all of His blessings. You cannot curse what God has blessed. So the enemy and people try to do something against you, you're in Jesus, and you get the blessing. And I would have to tell you, I am 82 and a half. No, yeah, 82 and a half, I have to think about it. I've been more blessed in my 80s than in my 30s. Why? I'm in the cross. I'm in Jesus. I'm in Jesus, and
praise
Jesus
God.
Blesses us.
And it's in you.
Yes.
It is in you.
Yes. The last one, Deuteronomy. Oh, Deuteronomy is wonderful because Deuteronomy really stresses the Word. And Jesus is the Word made flesh.
Mm.
And so this is so key to us that we see all through. It's just three sermons, but it all emphasizes the Word. Kenneth, mm-hmm. Gloria, mm-hmm. What do you think? Should we just talk about it a little bit?
Absolutely. Praise God. Amen. Marilyn? We're in a new time.
Yeah.
The time from here to here.
Yeah.
We're right here.
Yeah, I believe that.
We're in the maps.
We're in the maps. I mean, we have finished this thing. And when you read it and you look at it, this whole thing is for and by Him.
Right.
It's Jesus in the beginning. It's Jesus. It's a revelation of Jesus.
Right.
The book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus.
Right.
So when you see this entire thing, we're involved in God's holy victory.
Right.
Over all the curse, over every evil thing, every evil wicked spirit.
Exactly.
Praise God.
Exactly.
And we're blessed to be in on the end time.
Oh, yeah. We are so blessed. Amen. And, you know, I know my father had a mental breakdown. And so when I was about 36, the enemy began to talk to me. He said, you look like your father. You act like your father a lot, and you're going to have a mental breakdown. And I just cried out to God. I said, God, help me. I'm just like my father. He said, that's right. You're just like your father. I'm your father. So, I never had a mental breakdown.
He's never had a breakdown.
That's excellent.
And you never will either.
No, praise God.
So I love this, that we have a new father. We have a Savior, and that's He's not right. just out here. He's in yeah. here. And so as we look at Him, as we behold Him in the Bible, He transforms us. But He doesn't just transform us. He takes us from glory to glory. I got saved at 16. I would say I've lived in glory to glory to glory
Amen.
To glory.
Oh, yeah.
And there's one other book I want to just talk about a little bit, because I want to go into that second segment that we had on the board of the history. Because when you start the history, so many people think you don't see Jesus. But you do. If you look at Joshua, Joshua even means Jesus.
And we're out of time.
Are we out
we'll
of time?
We'll take it up right there.
Okay.
We'll take it up. Don't hold that thought. We'll
I
take
will.
It up there tomorrow. Praise God, the three of us, Gloria and Marilyn and me. We will be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.